Brandon,
Jake,
how's it going?
Good. How are you doing?
Doing good.
Good. Welcome everyone to this week's episode of The Writer's Block. My name is Brandon Morehouse.
And I'm Jake Flukiger.
And this week we're going to be talking about pushing the boundaries. Now, this has become a quick fan favorite. But before we get to that, let's go through our usual spiel, right?
How was your week, Brandon?
My week, you know, I've had better weeks, but it's not been bad. You're an adult. I ordered something and it came yesterday and I was way too excited about it.
Well, Brandon, what did you order?
A new lunchbox. I look ridiculous going to work. I have 3 bags of stuff. Like, I look like I'm going camping. Jake, did you see the picture that I posted?
I did. I did see the picture that you posted.
I'm ridiculous.
It was good.
I was like, oh my God. Anyways, Jake, how's your week going?
My kids at school have been a lot to handle this week. I am blaming the full moon.
Yeah.
And, you know, the little werewolves are just, you know,
they're being beastly. Little werewolves. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, although there's some truth behind that. I think, you know, the moon regulates the water flow, the push and pull of the water, right? So I feel like there's some kind of truth in there.
Yeah, so it's been an interesting week.
Oh, I had some news today.
Yeah,
there was a police shooting on my block.
No.
Yeah, long story short, the police responded to a trespassing call, and there was a highly aggressive dog, and the dog went to attack the police or something. I'm not sure. I haven't heard all the details, and they shot the dog.
Sad.
But one of the bullets ricocheted and hit somebody, like, in the leg, but no one's dead. Sure, I haven't heard all the details, but I had to make a couple phone calls like, hey, I'm fine. Don't worry. I'm not working from home. Blah, blah, blah. So, like.
That's a lot.
Yeah. It was a lot. I was like, holy shit. Like, so.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But other than that, my writing's been good. I've been doing a lot.
You have been doing a lot.
I have been doing a lot. Thanks to some great coaching.
What?
Yeah. What? What about you? How's your writing life going?
My writing life is scattered. I have a few too many projects going on right now, and so I feel like I'm not getting enough done on any of them, even though I'm making progress on all of them.
You with too many projects?
I know, right?
Never. I would never suspect that.
Never, ever. I definitely don't do this to myself all the time.
I mean, I feel like I get a lot done. So, and I know you get a lot done, but when you're like, I have too much going on, that must say a lot, right?
Yeah, something like that.
Sure. Okay. Shall we get on?
Yeah,
let's move on. We'll move on from that. So tonight's topic is pushing the boundaries. But before we do any of that, Jake, where can everyone listen to us at?
You can listen to us on any of the streaming platforms, or you can find us on podbean.com.
Yes, and don't forget to give us a like and a follow. We're pushing 1,000 downloads.
Which is so exciting.
It's so exciting. We've been trying to get some, you know, celebrities to come on and do some, like, surprise interviews, and that's in the works, so I'm not going to announce who that is, but we're working on that. But
we'll get there.
What?
We'll get there.
They're going to come on. I'm going to bug them enough that they're going to come on. We're at 974 downloads, so don't forget to tell your friends, family, anybody that's interested in writing, give us a like and a follow and a listen, because this is what we do here. We're like a co-op of authors. But before we get on to the topic, and I don't want to have to mute everybody like I did last week.
That was fascinating.
I got some lip. I felt like M was like, how dare you, in her sweet southern accent, right? Like, okay. But before we get on, don't forget this is an open conversation. Once we open that mic up for everybody, But before we do any of that, Jake has to hit me with our off-topic topic.
Yes, I do. Are you ready for it?
And there's let's go.
Okay. So, Stanford University.
Okay.
Or Harvard University. Sorry, my bad.
Okay.
Harvard has a massive collection of books, right?
Sure. Yeah. Yes. Yes.
I mean, they're university. Of course they do, right? One of their books, though, has gathered a lot of interest and scrutiny. And there's a big reason for that. And that is because of the binding of this book.
Is it the one that's written with human skin?
Yes.
Yeah.
So they have, and they're not the only one that has, like, they're not the only.
I think it's called the Devil's Bible, I think.
Yeah, but they're not the only ones that have a book that is wrapped in skin.
Okay.
Like, it's not the only one out there.
Yeah.
But people are really getting kind of upset that that is the case. So Harvard is actually removing the binding, and they're going to respectfully give it its final position. Okay?
Okay.
So my question for you is, and it better not be human skin. That's not the correct answer. I want to know what would be the perfect material to wrap your current project in.
Ooh. Wait, do you mean like with the theme of the book? Or like if I can pick any, like if you had to go with the theme of the book and what this book is about, that's what you have to wrap it in, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I would say money probably is the theme, the underlying theme.
So you just wrap it in $100 bills?
I mean, probably like a dollar bill, but like it's kind of like the one I'm working on is like class warfare. So I guess
money works well.
Money works well. What about you, Jake? And rainbow, and it has to be something real. You cannot say something like rainbows and unicorns and glitter. No, real.
I was definitely not going to say something like that.
Unicorn feathers, like no.
Unicorn feathers, seriously?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know where I was going with that, but okay.
I would probably have to go with stamped leather.
Okay. I can... Why?
Because this new romance book that I'm writing has to do with riding horses, so...
Of course it does. Nay. I don't agree with that.
Don't even start. Oh my god.
and for anyone coming on, please tell us what your current project. That's a good question. We might have to use that one. What would your current book be wrapped in? I like that one.
Yeah. Just something fun.
Given the theme of the book. And that's the key. Given the theme of your book, what's your current work in progress going to be wrapped in? So, we already got people coming through here. I mean, should I reveal who some of these kind of celebrities are? No, I'm not gonna reveal it. I'm not gonna say who I'm working on getting.
Okay.
But you'll be happy. Millennials will, everyone will be happy. Anyways, let's get on with the show. So Jake, we're pushing the boundaries tonight.
I know.
And this one's kind of a fun topic because we kind of just open it up, right? For anyone to kind of speak up. Because this one's one we really don't plan for. There's not like a theme. It's just we kind of just let it go.
Yeah, we just open the doors, the floodgates, and just hope for the best.
Yeah, I mean, it's a real live, let's just see what the fuck happens. So I do have one, and it is a very sensitive subject.
Okay.
For authors, especially given here in the United States, not saying it doesn't happen in any other country, but it's more frequent here in the United States. How do you... Right, like shootings, like a mass shooting.
Oh,
how do you feel about that?
So that is a topic that's tough. A big deal. That's tough. Yeah. Working in the school system like I do, that's something that gets brought up a lot by the students.
Right.
I think that unless you have experienced it personally or as a parent or something, it's a really hard one to write about. But you push the boundaries on that.
Yeah.
I think you really need to understand that there are perspectives that you can dive into that yeah. still touch on the subject without it being overstepping.
Would you find it appropriate to do as an author? Like if you had a character that survived a school shooting, right?
Okay.
Would that be appropriate?
I think that, so for me, writing middle grade a lot, there is a big difference for what we're allowed to put on the page.
Mm-hmm.
So if I were to have something like that in a book, I would be really cognizant that it probably shouldn't happen to my main character because I haven't experienced or done anything with that.
See, and I want to be respectful about this because it is a very sensitive subject. And it's not that I'm downplaying it by any means. I think if you do it in a very appropriate way, that it could work for a character very well and for a story very well. But not glorifying it by any means. I would never want to do that. I think it could work because that is part of what we do as authors is we write, even when we're writing fiction, we tend to write fiction with like a political point of view.
Yeah. There's
some sort of, it may be minor, but it's in there a little bit.
There is an opinion in all fiction.
Correct. So I think if you, depending on how you do it. Now, again, you don't want to, and it's an event that's happening past and current. And I think it's just tough. You just have to be very sensitive about it because you don't want it to come off the wrong way. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. I think too, as working like I do closely with youth, like if I were to tackle that subject for a middle grade audience,
right?
I think instead of dealing with an actual shooting event, I would deal with the drills that they go through to be prepared for that.
Right.
So
that was a bit of a heavy one to come on here for. Maybe that's something we talk about in season 4. If you would be interested, Jake, if that's a bit of a heavier one, but I don't know.
I think that tackling heavy subjects is something that we do on this show sometimes, though.
Yeah. I mean, so, we're working on that. We have a tragedy episode, so we can put it in with that one. There's no, I don't.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which happens, and I didn't even plan it. It happens to be on 9/11. Like, oh.
Oh, wow.
I just noticed that today. I was like, well, that lined up.
So, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. What do you got for me, Jake? What's a topic that you feel kind of taboo about?
So, for pushing the boundaries can be at any stage of your writing.
Right.
And so I think what I would like to dive into is as first-time writers, what is something that first-time writers can do to push the boundaries or to push themselves?
Oh, that's a good one. Okay. Well, and feel free, you guys, to jump in here if you want. Let's focus on me for a second, per usual.
Per usual, of course.
Per usual. I'm a Leo.
Absolutely.
So what it is. What's something I struggle with, Jake? And we both know the answer to that one.
Well, Brandon, I know this will come as quite a shock to everybody who is typically here with us on the show. Brandon struggles with writing emotions.
Oh my fucking God. I can't stand it. I cannot, I struggle with that. And that for me is very hard. But I've kind of made a breakthrough this past week.
He has. It has been amazing.
And I think once it started to click in my mind, because for me, when I was writing those scenes about emotion, like this person's experiences, this emotion, and kind of explain it, you don't have it. In my mind, that's an info dump, right? And Jake, we've had this conversation. I was like, oh, that's not an info dump when you're giving a short little explanation, right?
Yeah. And it's not an info dump because we're seeing into the character. It is not just random information that is part of world building. It is something that is really helping us get to know that character.
Right. And I think once I kind of got over that hill, I was like, I'm going to own this. I'm going to lean into these emotions. And I've just been, oh my God, putting so many words on paper.
Because we were stuck for a minute. You were stuck for a minute.
I definitely had writer's block.
So clever. Oh my gosh.
That was tough, but I mean, pushing the bound, and this one I think for me has pushed my personal boundaries. I kind of tapped into stuff that I get angry about. And I really let that come through on my character. And Jake, you've read it.
I have. It's really good.
Carolyn, go ahead.
For me, you guys can hear me, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. For me, showing a character emotionally is revealing, like, their backstory and everything. My male main character isn't emotionless, but he's like tall, mysterious stranger. And I feel like if I give him emotion, it'll give like everything away. So I too struggle with emotion, Brandon.
I don't believe that emotions are real. No, I'm joking. I'm totally joking. I think it's tough. Don't mind the sirens in the background, if you can hear them. Yeah, that's definitely something for me I've struggled with, and it's Jake and I've been working on it for a while on how to properly do that on the page, right?
Right, like in a film it would be kind of easy, but on the page it's like they just come off as like robotic.
Right, and it's tough to like how do you add this person's kind of experiences into this without giving too much away at this moment in time, right?
Exactly.
So I get that. I definitely get that.
So with pushing the boundaries for the beginner writer, we've got jumping into things that are not comfortable for us to write.
Yeah, I think on a personal, like on an individual level, that makes a difference. Jake, what is something that you find very uncomfortable to write?
Honestly, for me, it's, and I'm gonna toss this out here and stuff, with the romances that I'm writing and stuff, it's awkward for me to write kind of those more intimate moments and things, just because I'm a pretty private person. And so putting stuff on the page is hard. It's really hard.
I'm going to leave that joke alone, but okay.
I bit my lip.
I was like, I'm not even going to acknowledge that one.
But Jake, wow. I feel that 100%.
Like it's a lot to be able to, you know, to step outside of what is comfortable for you as a person.
Right.
And say, I am this person, but I am also a writer.
Because
I'm a writer, I have to be able to express this.
Yeah, I think it's a big deal to Jake, you know me and listeners, like, I like to push myself, right? I like to step out of my boundaries. And I think that being uncomfortable helps us grow. Now you have a tough time in that, because that's not scenes that you would typically write in your genre.
No, right? No.
I always tell people, I'm like, hey, listen, if you're uncomfortable writing this, I would maybe write a private story, like put it off to the side and then you can learn that process, like, and you would get more comfortable with it.
I'm not even close to touching on like heavy romance or erotica, right, or anything. It's right. Just for me personally, like, it's like, oh wow, all right, yeah, we'll just put that out there.
Yeah. And that's different for everybody. Some people are just like, they're not comfortable writing a Western. We'll say a Western.
Yeah.
How do you learn to do that? Well, you have to go in and do it, and you have to do the research on it. You have to study it. And I think it's tough, and that's an emotional wall, because you have to learn to be uncomfortable with that. And then there's everyone's got different levels of comfortable being uncomfortable. And I think those that write about tragedy, like a personal tragedy, that is probably some of the most uncomfortable stuff to write, because you have to relive those experiences. And Kathleen, I'm looking directly at you when I say this. You have my utmost respect for putting that on paper and reliving that trauma and then putting it out there for the world to see. And yeah, hoping that other people, letting them know, I've been through this, I'm there with you, right? That is a whole nother level of respect. And, you know, that's a hero. I consider those people to be heroes, because they're showing others. This has happened to other people. So it's tough, you know, that's tough.
And that is pushing the boundaries. That's exactly what this episode is all about. Is taking those things that are uncomfortable and putting them out there and saying, hey, this is real. This is what it is.
I realized that with my whip, I've been struggling with not wanting to offend anyone. Like, but at the same time, there's just the way the story is playing out, there could be some racism, sort of, and I don't want that. So, I don't want to push that boundary.
Well, I think that's dependent on your character.
Yeah.
And that's a toughy subject as well. It's like, I don't want that, but if that's what that character is.
Right. But in the end, it's about growth and change. Like, she thinks one way in the beginning, and in the end, she thinks another way.
Well, and that's what writing is all about, is showing that progression for our character and showing that people can change.
Right.
Kathleen, did you want to hop on?
Yes. First, Brandon, I'd like to say thank you for understanding it was really, really hard to write such a personal story. And as you were talking about the difficulty of writing about emotions or with emotions, I'm like the total opposite of that. Like, that seemed to flow right onto the paper,
right,
for me, because I guess that's just where I was coming from. And, right. But anyway, I wanted to say thank you for acknowledging the difficulty of that. And also, when you were talking about the shootings, the topic of shootings,
mm-hmm.
I went to my saved books, books that I never give away. And Wally Lamb wrote The Hour I First Believed. And I don't know if you know him, but he's a Connecticut author. And that was all about kind of about Columbine, but it was fiction. It wasn't, the true story of that. But for 800 pages, he did a really, really good job in a very sensitive, well, the whole country's sensitive about that issue, but, you know, I have family in Sandy Hook, and so that was whole, you know, very difficult. But so reading this book, I was really impressed on the way that he handled it. You know, it was a tough subject, but he's a very experienced author. So,
yeah,
you know.
So, Kathleen, I have a question for
yes.
you.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like pushing the boundaries, would you be able to use or write the same level of emotion for a fictional character?
I probably would have to work harder at it. But yes, I think I could, because it's such a part of who I am. You know, like we only know each other a little bit here, but I'm a very emotional person. So I do think, especially when I'm in my quiet space, you know, writing, the emotions seem to flow very well onto paper. It especially happens when I'm writing with a pen, because I journaled all my life.
I love that so much. And I really do.
And so there's something about that that's very personal to me. It was really hard to move to computer, but I had to,
to be
make
able
the book.
Exactly. Yeah,
I wanted to just take all my journals and sew them all together and hand that in, you know, but.
No, I wrote my first two books by hand, and it was a big... It was a big deal for me to be able to have it out on paper.
Yeah.
Since then, I absolutely hate trying to get it from paper to the computer. So I just write on the computer, but I very much get where you're coming from.
Yeah. And then the other thing was, is that, and I know you just hit send and you send it to, you know, agents and publishers and all of that. But I printed out my whole book on paper, like burned out, like all the ink, in the printer. But I had to have it in front of me, and I had all my little chapters marked off, and, you know, no wonder it took me 5 years to do this, but.
I love it.
You
but
know.
I can't wait to see what you write next.
Yeah, well, I've started, but, the memoir... really kind of just flowed out, and my next book, if it ever comes to be, would be memoir also, but it feels riskier. I don't know how that can be, but there's just so much more to write.
Well, and that would be for you very much pushing the boundaries even more.
Yeah, well, with memoir, it really is pushing all of your boundaries and your family's boundaries. And, you know, absolutely. I had to have discussions with my family. I mean, all the names in the book are changed and everything. But there had to be some discussions, you know. And
and
my mom, God bless her, she did read one chapter, and she knew by that time in our life, the whole story. But, you know, that was really, really hard. We had to, you know, really sit with Kleenex, and, you know, there was a lot of risk involved in doing something like that. So
there is.
Yeah.
Well, and I think it brings up, you know, it brings up that emotional trauma that we as human beings tend to just push aside. I'm not going to address this. It's like, no, we need to bring it to the forefront and have this conversation. And it's tough. Like, tough conversations. And that drives you forward. And that emotionally releases you from things, right? Like, it helps.
Yeah.
Talk about it.
It does. And, you know, and I'm really, you know, as healed as I'm going to get, you know, at soon to be 69 years old.
I love it.
Yeah, and I don't want to hear, Kathleen, If what? The next book comes out, I want to hear when the next book comes out.
If I should live so long.
You will. Oh, you will. You'll get that next book out. I know. I have faith in you.
Yeah, well, and the journal that it's in right now that has not gone into computer yet is sitting right next to me, actually.
I love it.
Yeah.
That's brilliant.
Someday, yeah. I'll push the boundaries again.
Yeah, yes, push your boundaries.
Thank you.
So, Brandon.
Yes.
How can somebody push the boundaries with query letters?
Ooh. You know, I've never done a query letter. So I don't know. Jake, how would someone push the boundaries with a query letter?
So with query letters, there's kind of a rough standard format, but some of the most successful queries have been ones that have scrapped that entirely and gone out on a limb and done something entirely different. And it takes courage and everything to be able to do that, because you don't know how the industry is going to react to something that's outside of their boundaries.
You know, that's a valid point. I think I'm always one to kind of step outside the box, right? I love it. Like I make my own path. I don't fucking care. Like, I'm going to do what I need to do, and I may be wrong, but I own it, right? Like, yeah, I was wrong on that, but I learned a lesson, right?
Yep.
I think it's that's particularly tough because there are certain standards that the industry has, and you're kind of narrowed in on this box about what is acceptable and what's not. Does that make sense?
Yep, totally. And that's typically for traditional publishing. I feel like there's a lot more freedom in indie publishing, which is something that I'm honestly kind of jealous about.
Oh, you have no idea how many different kinds of letters I've sent to indie presses. Wowza. Compared to my query letters, they're all over the damn place.
I love that, David. Honestly. David, how are you personally pushing the boundary?
What, in like queries or like in general?
Queries in your writing, like whatever you think you want to throw out there.
Well, for me and whatnot, I think the last time we talked about this topic, I talked a lot about the why you would do it. Why, what's the reason you're doing it, and kind of going from there. I think maybe I was thinking more on the how for this episode. And for me, I have a whip, rough draft and whatnot. And so Jake and Brandon, it's set in the mid-90s in East Texas, and my main character is queer and neurodivergent.
Okay.
We've already got ourselves a baseline of, holy shit, this child is in danger.
Oh, for sure.
Absolutely. You know, and sorry to interrupt and whatnot. I see this on online and whatnot. A lot of people, especially with the new X-Men show coming out, people talking about the 90s and sort of waxing nostalgic about it and how enlightening the 90s were. And I'm just sitting here thinking, Matthew Shepard, fag drags, smear the queer, fuck off.
It was not.
James Byrd Jr. to get out of the gay part of things and whatnot. So, and one of the things that I try to do in my work is I try to say the quiet part out loud. That's a how. I try to say the quiet part out loud. And my main character isn't a male. It's a female. And growing up, I remember one of the things that my sisters had to deal with about the time, God, late in elementary school. And that was when grown-ass men started talking about how they looked. And I took all that, that history, that generational feeling, not like my personal story of fear and not knowing what to do and that kind of that loneliness and whatnot, because when you can't trust that you're not going to get, you know, beaten to death, whatnot, you kind of seal everything off and whatnot. I took that story, that generational thing, and I turned it into Kate and the book that she's in, sort of this, let me show you how ugly it is and how ugly it was. Yeah, that's the how. I like to show you how ugly you are. That's a boundary right there. That's a very, very personal, very, very personal story. Whether or not it's no individual, but it was a lot of people that I saw, myself and others, and everyone wants to talk about how great and nice the 90s were and enlightened, and no, they weren't. And I want to show you how it was,
which
I encapsulated in horror form.
I think it's beautiful in so many ways, because it's, I think pushing the boundaries can be showing that ugly side of things, and that in and of itself can be really hard for writers and readers. I think a lot of times we end up with these wonderful stories, and I write them, like there's my middle grade fantasy and stuff, like it's all about, you know, happy, wonderful things, but being willing to jump in there and write something that is blatantly in the face of what people want to see is really pushing the boundaries.
Yeah, I mean, to not to put a too fine a point on it, the one of the things that pushes boundaries because it makes everybody uncomfortable, you were talking about it before, is sex.
Yeah.
And like I said, I changed the gender. I always envisioned her as a girl. She was never a boy. And one of the things, like I said, is because I remember my sisters, and I remember, I don't, you know, I never saw it as a blatant threat. You know what I mean? A blatant threat. But in this book, the blatant sexual threat to Kate is very real and very personified. I gotta tell you, I go hard on this one. I really love this book. I don't want to put it out too early and whatnot. I'm actually taking my time with one for once.
Good, that's awesome.
It's not, you know, like I said, it's also about, like you said, pushing the boundaries and some of this stuff because of her age and because of certain factors and whatnot. It's all about kind of towing a line and whatnot, because this isn't supposed to be some tawdry little tee hee hee kind of thing and whatnot. It's supposed to be make you uncomfortable. It's supposed to make you think, oh Jesus Christ, what's going to happen, and is he going to write it, and am I going to be able to read it?
Yeah. No, for real. I think that pushing to the line is where it gets tricky as a writer.
I find the older I get, the more of a squig factor I have. Like if someone, there is a line that can be crossed with me and I'll stop reading a book, but it, I don't know, as I get older, it just feels like it's been more and more. I'm like, that's awful.
Well, and because we see, as especially as adults, so much of what the world is, and sometimes it's uncomfortable to see it on the page of fiction when we're seeing it in real life every day.
Yeah.
But diving into those stories and into that, those difficult waters can be something that really pushes us as readers to kind of step outside of ourselves and say, oh, well, let's take a critical look and see what's there.
That's true.
So I will hands down tell you right off the bat, like there are things that I shy away from as far as reading because it's just too difficult for me personally.
So Jake, no dino erotica for you?
Brandon Morehouse, you promised.
I tried. I couldn't resist.
You promised.
I mean, I was just asking the question.
Nope, nope, nope. You're fired.
Okay, well.
It was getting kind of heavy, if I have to be honest, you know.
It was. It
Brandon needed that tension breaker, you know.
I'm here for. I'm the comic relief. What can I say? <You're> I know my place.
So, Brandon.
Yes.
That being said, what?
Dino Veronica?
No, not that. Oh, okay.
You said You said that being said.
That being said, as in everything that we just talked about, mine is okay. Your comment.
Okay.
What is something that might push over the line that maybe you should tone back a little bit?
Can I jump in, or do you want Brandon to answer
for me? No, go ahead, Carolyn, because I'm drawing a blank right now.
So I'm sure actually... this morning when I was having coffee in bed before work, I was thinking, I was like, ooh, the writer's block episode is pushing the boundaries. I was like, I wonder what book I've read that I just DNF'd because it was like, and yeah, Gravity's Rainbow by Thomas Pynchon.
Okay.
I mean, the opening line is incredible. It's a screaming comes across the sky. So of course I'm like, holy crap, what's going to happen? It turned into a weird psyops World War II stream of consciousness ramble that I just couldn't follow. And there was one point where the protagonist was engaging in sexual activities with a woman. And yeah, when it comes to ingesting human waste, I was like, okay, no, nope.
Oh.
And I shut the book.
And I have an almost. I have one that I almost put down, actually. If anybody cares to hear about it, I'll skate the details. But I'll tell you about it real quick. Has anybody ever read Dead Inside by Chandler Morrison?
No.
No.
Don't. I mean, okay, so I'll say this. He is a brilliant writer, and if it was written any less good than he wrote it, the book never would have worked. And if he hears this, he's once again ashamed, because that was the book that I read that made me not afraid to put the things that I put into my books, because nothing I wrote goes anywhere near this book. And here's the setup. This guy works in a hospital. He's a necrophiliac. We're just going to leave that there.
Oh.
He starts dating a woman who eats dead babies.
Oh no, no.
Are we there? Details. I'm just gonna go away for a second.
Wow.
I'm just gonna remind everybody I can mute.
You're like, that, I have the power.
No more of that.
That's a lot. Like,
yeah. Right?
All of those are some like, okay, that is a boundary.
That's
right?
A boundary, and you might have pushed past it, and it's going to make a lot of people uncomfortable, and it might get to the point where it's too much for the general population.
Right. That's a very niche group. Like,
it made me feel so brave, though, guys. I really, like, I wasn't afraid of my stuff anymore, because I'm not, like, that's a 10, and I'm like a 6. You know what I mean?
And a 6 is a pretty good place to be.
Maybe a 7. I don't know, but I'm not there. I'm not there, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that I think there are so many things that you can do to push over the lines. And again, like David had said, it's about towing the line. It's about getting up next to it and making people uncomfortable without making people uncomfortable.
But, you know, those stories like that, for us, those are the lines. Like, oh, we're done. Like, that's not going to happen. I'm not going to go any further with that. But there are people that they're comfortable with that.
Yeah.
It doesn't bother them. Know your clientele. Know your fan base, right? Like, oh, my fan base would enjoy this because I like being blah, 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 whatever. But, yeah, I think that's good.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Can I just say
it was a good book? Okay.
Oh my gosh. So what we have to do then is we have to look at what the middle of the line is, especially for the audience that we're writing for. And we kind of have to say, okay, how far am I willing as a writer to push the boundaries?
Right.
And those boundaries are being pushed by us and by what we think our audience can stomach. So,
well, and I think the boundaries from a historical aspect, right? If you look, it's relevant to the time as well. Now, sex is, Jake, like you had mentioned before, sex is difficult for you to write, right? Like those types of scenes. For the general public, I don't feel like that's so much of the case. Currently, that could change in 10, 20 years, right? If you're not comfortable with it, right? Like if you're not comfortable with it, I don't have a problem with it. But that could change from a general public sort of a feel, because sex sells, right? That's a big, heavy part of a lot of stories, not the sex scenes, I should say. But that could switch, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, and I think too, it depends on your market. Like, for instance, in Europe, like, sex and nudity and things tend to be more openly accepted than violence is. Whereas in the U.S., we have this absolutely fascinating relationship with violence, and sex has been avoided for a long time as kind of taboo.
Yeah.
And so pushing the boundaries for your region, for your demographic, for whatever else is really kind of a personal thing for where you're at.
Right. Yeah, I think that's valid. I mean, the United States is kind of prude, bunch of prudes when it comes to sex.
I am not included
in that category.
I know you're included in that category. Don't even. You're such a dork.
I have no shame in my game.
I love that Jake is like the angel on the shoulder and Brandon is the devil.
See, we are totally a pair. Like, we.
You are.
You can't have one without the other. Like,
we balance
peanut butter and jelly, R2-D2 and C-3PO.
Oh my gosh, stop with the C-3PO.
You just need to learn to accept it, Jake.
But he's right, Jake. I don't even know the context, and he's right.
He's totally right. Oh. I don't know what he's talking about, but he's right. Like, it's like a Reese's peanut butter cup. One of us is chocolate and the other one's peanut butter.
Which is which?
That's a tough call.
I don't know. I don't know.
We'll let the listeners decide on that one.
Yeah. Brandon.
Jake.
So, pushing the boundaries.
Yes.
What happens when a writer is unwilling to push boundaries?
You know, I think that's kind of a not fair question, because, you know, there's certain things people just don't want to talk about. And I, as a reader, not from a writer aspect, that is that author's choice. And they have to either come to terms with themselves and go through that writing process of what is acceptable, or I don't have to read their book.
Yeah.
But like, that's your choice. Like, but the writer has that right to tell that story in that fashion.
Well, and part of what I'm getting at is, like, you have books like, let's take the Hunger Games books.
Okay.
That was pushing the boundaries when that came out. Because it was this novel concept of teenagers murdering each other. Something new. And it's like when Lois Lowry came out with The Giver, that was a novel concept where it was pushing the boundaries for the time. And so as authors, we are continually saying, okay, yes, every story has been written, mm-hmm. and we're just recycling those. But when we tell it from our own perspective, what can we do to set ourselves apart or push those boundaries?
You know, you're saying that, and I just thought of something in my work in progress that kind of pushes the boundary, and Jake will talk about that after the show because I don't want to announce too much about that book. But I think there's little things that we can – I remember when the Hunger Games came out, and I was like, oh, teenagers. And you're like, oh, well, it's a dystopian story. So in dystopian time, the views would be different, right? Like, we're coming at it from our view, from our standpoint. But that is socially acceptable in that story.
Yeah.
And I think, what is the name of that? I can't think of the name of the, I think it's a play. It might be a book. It's like where the people get stoned. Not like smoking stone.
Oh,
the
Lottery by Shirley Jackson.
Thank you. The Lottery. Yeah. Like the people get killed by the townspeople throwing rocks at them and killing the people in the town. It's been so long since I've read that one, but I was like, yeah.
But yeah, the stuff like that is pushing the boundaries. It's pushing what readers are comfortable with. And it's right. Really.
And that's the thing is, Gravity's Rainbow was dystopian. I mean, it was it was World War II, but it wasn't reality, but it was disturbing enough that it was like, dude, even for dystopia, I can't.
Yeah. And there are genres that push those boundaries all the time.
Yeah. I feel like dystopian has a tendency to do that.
Yeah. I also think that when we're talking about pushing the boundaries as far as what our readers are comfortable with, I think that applies especially for what I write in the middle grade audience and stuff. Mm-hmm. With the industry is asking for boundaries to be pushed a little bit, but we have to realize that there are gatekeepers for these young minds and things. And so school librarians, teachers, parents all have to be on board with the amount that you are pushing the boundary.
Right.
Is where we end up getting things like banned books.
What are you talking about? Are the children today different than the children of my day? Because I was reading freaking Flowers in the Attic when I was like 8 or 9. No one cared.
I feel like kids don't read these days, but no one reads anymore.
Reading is becoming a struggle for a lot of youth. Kids don't read like they used to. And also I believe that there's just more awareness of what children are reading. Like I know that I read when I was a kid, I read The Long Walk, and I look back and I'm like, what were my parents thinking letting me read that? And really, they just didn't know that I read it. So,
Jake, you what? Little heathen.
Dude, I read like the entire Anita Blake Vampire Hunter series, and that is just smut. Like,
very nice.
Smut.
Very nice.
All through college, and my mom would be like, oh, what do you read? And I'm like, it's about vampires. She'd be like, oh, that's nice.
Oh, that's nice.
No, for real.
Well, at least you're reading, right?
Yeah, exactly.
You can't really put it on my parents either. I could read like a 500-600-page book in like 5 hours. So give me like a 250-300-page Flowers in the Attic, and that thing would be gone in like 2 hours.
And they wouldn't know the difference.
And they would never know because I put the book back and I just went on to the next V.C. Andrews book or the Clive Cussler novel or... I think I read Dune.
Yeah, because that's child appropriate.
I understood it, so yes, it was.
Yes, it's very appropriate.
Oh my god, Dune.
I think there is a lot of boundary pushing that needs to happen. I also feel like there's a lot of boundary pushing that can be unnecessary. You don't need to reinvent the wheel to get a fresh take on something. And that's what we as authors need to realize too.
Right. Jake, we do have a question.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Sam asked, how do you guys feel about graphic novel reading trends?
Oh, okay.
Jake, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I believe that graphic novels are one of the few ways that a lot of our kids and our youth are actually still involved in reading. And whatever it takes to get these kids to enjoy a book, I don't care how many pictures it has. I don't care how few words it has. If they are picking up a book and they are invested in it, great. Yeah. That is pushing the boundaries for these kids.
I like to think graphic novels as like a gateway book.
Yeah.
Like, well, some kids can't imagine, they can't see it, or people, I should say people. Some people cannot imagine the scene that's being set for them. So these graphic novels, in fact, I just gave my godson my collection of my graphic novels because he's been struggling to read. He's 7. And I was like, well, he should be at a certain level by now, and he's not there yet. And his mother told me today he's been reading more. And I was like, I'm not saying it's because of those graphic novels, but it doesn't hurt, right? He can see the picture, and he's just reading what they're saying. So you're
saying that it's because of them, but we're not saying it's because
I'm not,
of
not saying I'm an amazing godfather, but...
I'll say it. You're an amazing godfather.
I'm well aware.
That's what it is. It's getting...
Those kids freaking love me.
Getting these kids especially, or getting people in general invested in something that that helps them to step outside their comfort zone, that helps them to step into something that can be a lifelong skill and a benefit to them is huge. And yeah. So pushing the boundaries in that way is a big deal. And to me, the trend with is not going away anytime soon. No. I do feel like it is a harder medium to get out there in certain ways because of the labor and time intensive that it takes for the graphics themselves. But I feel like there are a lot of books that have done it really, really well and that continue to be successful. So,
yeah, I think that's kind of where I really started reading, was using graphic novels originally. But Sam, we are planning our season 4 opener. If you'd like to join us, we encourage you to come back every single week. But season 4, our opener is actually going to be all about graphic novels and comic books. Yeah. Should be great. Jake.
Yes.
We're out of time.
I know, we're out of time.
Our hour is up, my friend.
But we've had a good time.
It's been good. I think it's brought up, we've talked about a lot of stuff.
Yeah,
A lot of it kind of heavy. It's kind of a little bit more of a serious episode.
Which is okay.
Yes.
We got to do that sometimes.
Got to do them every once in a while, right? Jake, where can everybody listen back to us?
You can find us on any of the streaming platforms, but you can also find us at podbean.com. And we'd love for you to give us a like and a follow and a comment.
Yes. And don't forget, we're on Facebook now, too. That group is quickly growing. And also, next week, this one's going to be my personal favorite. You know why, Jake?
Why, Brandon?
Erotica.
Carolyn.
We are not doing erotica. We're done with erotica. We did that.
We're
talking about comedy. How do you write comedy into a book?
Ooh, and comedy is so hard. It's so hard.
Comedy is hard to write. So, all right, everyone. We'll see you here next week, 7 p.m. Central Time. Please set your clocks by it.
Yeah.
And we'll be ready to talk. All right. Have a good week, everyone. Thanks for joining us.
Bye.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Later.